You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So Lillian, you went to an event this morning and you want to tell us a little bit more about it?
I did. All right. A quick, maybe not so quick, recap. This morning, Grant Robertson, Minister of Finance, gave his first big economic speech of the year. He gave it to a business crowd at Eden Park and it was hosted by Massey University this morning. I went along to hear the speech and it was much of what you expect from a finance minister leading up to the budget announcement of the year, given also that it was just after the findings of the tax working group that were announced last week. Much of what was said was actually assuring people that those recommendations made by the group aren't immediately going to be written into law. I'm going to come back to that report, but first, the speech. Minister Robertson began by outlining the economic state of the nation, including its international relations that affect that economic state. So his main message was that, yes, there is a volatile situation globally, and yes, we will be affected by this, but he wanted to stress that the fundamentals of our economy are strong, and therefore we are in a good position to face any issues that come at us from the rest of the world. He mentioned our relationship with China, saying it remains good, and like all good relationships, some things come up sometimes that you have to deal with. In this, he mentioned the US too and the tensions between the US and China, saying that New Zealand does indeed need the two largest players to play along. With Europe, he reiterated the likelihood of New Zealand's involvement in the European Free Trade Agreement. And with the UK, we just have to wait until Brexit is sorted, which I think everyone is waiting for. He stressed our debt and unemployment remain low while our wages are set to grow by 3% each year. He said we are moving from a stable to a positive position in regards to our credit rating, and this has meant the government is able to think about institutional reform. He talks about modernising the economy, and this would be the shifting from a regular budget to a wellbeing budget and the transition to a low carbon economy. He also addressed infrastructure and the way the government is thinking about this with a long-term lens. Here he linked the shifting structure of polytechnics in the country as a way of acknowledging our skills shortage and how this would make a huge difference in our productivity, along with Immigration Minister Ian Lees-Galloway's new adaptive skills shortage list in order to maintain immigration to fill those gaps. Just back to the wellbeing budget briefly, there are five priorities in that, two of which are economic and three that are social. And those social priorities include child poverty, Māori and Pacifica, and mental health. Housing as an issue comes under all three of these as well. So these are all things that the government will be looking at leading up to the next budget, but also as a long-term agenda, linking the economy and our social wellbeing in a very formal way as a new thing, I suppose, and take some working out. But what this government seems to be doing is acknowledging that they are inextricably linked. We cannot continue to grow our economy without dealing with the very real issues at hand, such as poverty, mental health, and climate change. Two notes to make in the question and answer session after the speech. The relationship with private investors was raised in regards to building infrastructure. It was said that Australia is receiving billions of dollars from private investors over a number of years for these sorts of projects, and why aren't we doing the same? Grant responded by saying the manuscript for such a relationship and such projects does not exist, as it has not been done before, and therefore they are starting from scratch. Another question was whether the threat of a capital gains tax would actually damage the Labor brand, to which Grant responded that what was most important was having the conversation, again stressing that these recommendations are not compulsory. Now, I just want to maintain this, just have this moment, and let's talk about this tax working group, okay? The report itself stated the tax system is in fairly good shape, and the suggestions made were how certain parts of it could be made more fair and balanced. So let's just reiterate that, an issue of fairness and balance. Despite there being some great suggestions around environmental issues and tax on pollution, most of the discussion since that tax working group announced their findings has revolved around the capital gains tax. And a lot of the reaction to the capital gains tax suggestion has revolved around how this would be bad for those people that have worked really hard to get the assets that they have. Let's just get straight what a capital gains tax is. It's a tax on capital gains, so a tax on the profit made on the sale of something. Most common example of that something being used at the moment is property. And yes, other things like small businesses could be affected. But again, this is something the government has acknowledged and will work through. Now, no one is disputing anyone's hard work. It is generally understood However, that whenever anyone makes money, you can be taxed for that money. Right now, the government is exercising its right to discuss whether something that currently isn't being taxed should indeed be taxed, because if it is taxed, the country as a whole could benefit from that tax. Now, something that was made explicit by National Party leader Simon Bridges' response last week, he said that this was an attack on the Kiwi way of life. Now, that's a clear separation between the haves and the haves not. Have not. Have nots. Bridges' statement regarding the so-called Kiwi life or the Kiwi way of life raises a number of issues on who in fact a Kiwi is. The Spin-off addressed this in an article talking about the fact that many Kiwis, quotation marks, these days don't actually own property, and therefore this wouldn't actually apply to them. But the fact that they don't own property is not because they have not worked hard, it's because the market has become too unattainable. It is nearly impossible to own a home unless you are in some kind of position of privilege, and even then it is ridiculously expensive. Beyond this, and drawing on research I'd done in my master's thesis, the identity of a Kiwi often works to exclude any other, so any marginalised group. What I say to the discussion surrounding this capital gains tax is, who are you arguing for when you argue against the capital gains tax? What kind of power do you hold when you are resistant to conversations about making society more fair and balanced? I'll leave it there.
Thanks for that. That was quite thorough.
Yeah, it was an interesting speech. Yeah. I mean that's, yeah, a number of these, I've had these thoughts kind of going around my head since the working group announcement. Mm. But this speech, it was interesting to see that, yeah, Labor is, to me it seems they're sort of making a statement actually about the way that they want society to work, and that link between the economy and well-being I think is really, really important, at least moving forward.
Definitely. And just to touch on the Kiwi way of life, I've thought as a non-Kiwi that it was more the Kiwi dream to own a house rather than a way of life to own multiple houses.
So yes, I'm a bit confused. Good point. There you go.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.